from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I would say the competition that we've had up to this point during training camp, you can feel that. That's real, going against each other. And our players, offensive players going against defensive players, that competition is real. And the guys did a really good job of competing and really sharpening each other during that time. And we're excited about this competition coming up.
Matt Eberflus, excited. He should be. Everyone's expecting his team's going to be pretty good. Let's talk to one of the people on the outstanding Bears reporting beat. He is Herb Howard of the Bigs Media, and you can find him on Twitter at HerbHoward411 with us now on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois. Download the Circa Sports app today and twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. What's up, Herb?
What's happening, fellas? How y'all doing?
We're doing really well for you. What's this journey been like, and what's it like to now be at the point where the real games start and now you can really get a sense of what it is the Bears put in motion?
Yeah, it almost kind of feels like a total reset for this entire team, really. Like, I asked Flustat the other day, just does it kind of feel like a fresh start? I know this is his third year on the job, but he comes in, they tear the roster down, they finally got the roster completely turned over. They have the quarterback that this regime has chosen. And so it kind of feels like this kind of fresh thing, even though they're kind of in their third year of it. And so it's really, really exciting, man. I mean, obviously you never know until the you know, ball is actually kicked off and you see what you got on the field. But I think that, you know, good seasons don't just really happen by chance. It happens when you have a lot of good players committed to the same thing. And the Bears finally have a roster that really has a lot of good players at a lot of key positions. And so you expect them to be a really competitive team this year. It's exciting that it's finally football. It's been a lot going on for, it seemed like 2 years, the Bears have just been the center of the NFL news world, having the number one pick 2 years in a row. And now finally, you know, you start to get to the culmination of it, and the Titans will be here on Sunday.
How do you plan to observe Caleb Williams? Because it's not easy to take everything in on every play. And it's obviously there's multiple layers and an ability to watch tape. But just from a watching the game's perspective, where's your eye going to be?
Yeah, it's going to be mostly about how Coach Shane Waldron calls the game for him, right? I think Caleb Williams is capable of doing all the different things you want your quarterback to do. But for me, I'm most interested stylistically in terms of a game plan, how they go about utilizing him, how they go about attacking the opposing defense, at least early on. I think it would be prudent of them to kind of lean on the defense, lean on their kicking game, lean on special teams, and kind of let this offense kind of settle in. I know they got a lot of talent, but it's still a new offense with the new coordinator and a lot of new players in key positions. And I think it's going to take just a little bit of time for them to kind of get all on the same page and get in that rhythm and in that flow. And so I think early on, you want to establish the run. You want to get some play action, some misdirection things, get him out on the edge, do things that you know he's comfortable with. And as he goes about showing you how comfortable he is with those other things, then you can add more to his plate. I don't want to see them kind of put it all on his shoulders too early. I don't think they will do that. But I'll be more interested in seeing, you know, how Coach Waldron goes about calling the game than specifically how Caleb Williams actually executes. I think he'll execute what's called pretty well.
It's strange because we're talking about a Bears offense where there's now a lot of mouths to feed. That mm-hmm. didn't used to be the case. How have you heard Caleb discuss the idea of he's got a lot of guys now that'll want the opportunity to make plays for him? How does he dole that out?
Yeah, I think he just, you know, stays within himself, trust his progressions, understand what the play call is, understand what the defense is trying to do to you. He's shown a good ability to be able to recognize not only pre-snap, but then post-snap, what the defense has done to him, and then find that answer. And I think if he allows that process to kind of lead his decision-making, it'll be just fine. And some days that may mean DJ Moore gets 15 targets, and sometimes that may mean he gets 3 or 4. It is what it is, but I think they got a locker room full of guys that are unselfish, that are willing to do whatever is called upon for the team to win. And the good thing is, as you look at it right now, there are no bad options right there. So if you look and you say, oh, well, I don't like what I got with DJ right here. I don't like what I got with Keenan right here, but I do like what I got with Cole down the middle, right? Or I like what's going on with Rome, you know, on their third corner, whatever it may be. And so I think that the fact that he has so many options is a really, really good thing. He's also going to be able to dump the ball down to DeAndre Swift, who's really shown himself to be more dynamic than I actually knew he was. Kind of watching how he runs with the football, he's really, really explosive. That's going to be a nice check down option for him when Caleb isn't able to find something down the field. So I think he just kind of lets the progressions and lets the defense kind of dictate where the ball goes, and don't worry about, well, how many targets does Keenan have? How many targets does Rome have?
When did that light click on with you with Rome, where you were like, oh, I'm seeing something that I didn't necessarily see and watching him at Washington or watching all the scouting stuff?
Well, Rome's just been impressive since day one. I mean, you can tell it's not too much for him. They've been able to move him all around this offense, and he seems to be, you know, acclimating himself. And the mistakes that he made early, you didn't really see him repeating those mistakes. There was a couple of times in the game where I feel like he did a couple of just kind of rookie things, just trying to make sure that I do exactly what I'm supposed to do, exactly as this play is designed. And one of those times was when, you know, him and Caleb couldn't link up for a touchdown. They should have, but Rome was just following his rules for a scramble drill and coming straight down that line, as opposed to running to where that open grass was, which is where Caleb was like, hey, I'm gonna throw the ball to open grass. And I think the more they get on the same page, they'll have that chemistry. And when those opportunities present themselves, they'll hit it, because it happened in the game once, but it also happened in practice against a blown coverage that a couple of the DBs had, where Rome continued on his route when he really should have just took the open grass. So it's those types of things where he's really focused on making sure he's doing the right thing. But his skill set is very, very obvious. You hear, you know, Jalen Johnson and Tyreek Stevenson, all those corners that they got, talk about his ability to come in and be a solid addition, but also his demeanor. I remember asking him about, you know, the fact that he's a number nine pick. Usually you number nine pick, you're not coming in to be anybody's number three wide receiver. And he's like, yeah, I ain't coming in to be nobody's number three wide receiver either. He's like, all due respect to DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. He's got a ton of respect for those guys. And he said he's learned a lot from them. But his mentality is, hey, I can be the best receiver on this team, right? That's what you expect when you take a receiver number nine. Those other two guys that went in the top nine, their teams are counting on them to be the number one receiver. So you think that Rome has that type of ability too. He just happens to be walking into a situation where you got two guys in front of him that both may be on Hall of Fame trajectories.
I can't say I'm surprised to see that Mercedes Lewis garnered enough votes to reach that captaincy threshold. As the 40-year-old leader of the room, that should be what you're there for. But help me understand how Lewis is going to be used now with the pieces that they have, with Everett here, with Cole Kmet taking a step into what we hope he'll surpass, even being a top 10 NFL tight end. I'm a little concerned that when Lewis is on the field, it tells you it's a run play, because he's essentially not like quite like Brandon Manumaleuna, but he's almost a glorified tackle at this point at the tight end position. Is his on-field value still there?
I think so, Dan, but I agree with you. I do think he's a bit of a glorified tackle. I think he's a glorified coach too, right? I think that he's able to, you know, not only help guys out on the field, but help guys out off the field. And I think it's a luxury position that the Bears are in right now. I think maybe at a different point in their rebuild, a different point, maybe you don't have a roster spot solely for a guy who's going to be of great assistance to Cole Kmet or Jordan Everett, all those guys. Maybe you don't have a roster spot for a guy like that. But now with this team having been in the position that it's in terms of offensive skill guys, then maybe you have a roster spot for a guy like him. And yeah, when he comes on the field, it's probably going to be overwhelming a run play most of the time. But you can also kind of use those to set up some tendency breakers, right? You get down that red zone. He's been down there. He's caught a touchdown before, right? So you can use some of those things because it's going to be such a heavy tendency when he comes in to run. Now you kind of look, make it look the same. get a little boot. You know how Caleb is out on the edge. So I think we take advantage of some of those things. But, yeah, it will be a bit of an indicator about what they want to do when he comes in. But I think his value, not only on the field but off the field, is something that the Bears appreciate and a luxury that they've earned at this point in the process.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I texted Herb last night when I was watching all of the press conference stuff about his question to Jalen Johnson on, you know, having to deal with not getting a lot of balls thrown his way during a game. The answer we played in, and we talked about how, you know, he's someone who fits the cover two, but because of how it's morphed and they ask these guys to do more than just drop to a landmark, he's one of the best in the game. Do you get the sense from him that he understands that, even if he isn't getting the love from the outside?
Yeah, he definitely understands that. Jalen Johnson sincerely believes that he's as good or better than any corner in the league. And I think he's put that on tape, just watching how he's been able to cover guys. And he goes against, you know, a lot of elite receivers, and he's always up for the task. And I think that, you know, last year he finally got a chance to convert on some of those takeaway opportunities, and that certainly was a factor in his contract. But just in terms of his ability to cover guys, he's been doing that since he's gotten here, and he's only gotten better and better at it. He's a really, really smart football player. He understands what the offense is trying to do to him. He's able to kind of use that against them, to kind of manipulate them into doing things that he wants them to do, and then take advantage of those things as well. So he absolutely knows how good he is. And like you said, his answer to that question was just so good. He's like, I just want to dominate. If they want to throw the ball my way, that's going to be an L for them. And I think he's right. And so I think, you know, Tyree Stevenson and the rest of those guys have to be up for the challenge of seeing a lot more targets come their way, because more often than not, the quarterback is going to shy away from throwing the ball at number one.
Herb, one thing I was not able to ask Matt Eberflus that I wanted was his ongoing desire to take the ball, to not defer after winning the coin toss. And from everything I understand, from every breakdown that I've received, it just makes you slightly less likely to win. Even if you're excited about your offense, and even if you want to send a message of confidence and all that, it's still just smarter to defer. Do you know if he's going to continue this odd habit of choosing the ball?
I don't know. I will ask him that, because I agree with you, Danny. Y'all did such a phenomenal job on that piece. I really, really enjoyed that interview y'all did with him. But I do think that there's an advantage to deferring, right? It gives you at least the opportunity to get the ball two times in a row without the offense, without the other team getting the ball, right? If you can close out the half and then get it back, it gives you that opportunity to maybe either you're down two possessions and now you can make that up without them getting the ball, or maybe you're up a possession. You get a chance to really kind of get a 2 or 3 score lead without them getting the ball back. And so I think it's a really, really risky thing when you choose to take the ball early. And I get some of those things, and we're trying to set the tone and all that. But listen, that's all cool for about 5 minutes. And then the game is starting. Nobody really cares about this idea of we set the tone. Now, if you want to set the tone in the running game and smash mouth people and just say we're going to push y'all around all day, that's cool. But you can do that if you get the ball second too, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that this Bears defense, again, I think that's the strength of this team. I think he should be leaning towards that. If you want to set a tone, go out there and get a 3-and-out. Give Caleb the ball back on the, you know, minus 40, minus 35. Like, do something like that, and then you can set the tone for real. And I think you get a home game. You get there, you go a 3-and-out, and then Caleb comes on the field. Soldier Field is going to be rocking. And then you go down there and get some points. Now you really set the tone, and you put yourself at a great advantage. And so, for me, anytime you win the coin toss, it's almost a no-brainer to say, listen, we'll defer. Now, there are some different things that happen maybe with the wind and things like that, that you may feel like that's more important on a given Sunday at Soldier Field. But more often than not, defer, give yourself an opportunity to get it twice.
All right, Herb, give us the cold water. Well, what are the things that you're concerned about? Like when you go home after talking to people in these press conferences and you're like, I don't know if that was a satisfactory answer to some of these questions. What's on your notepad as a concern?
I'll tell you what, Darnell Wright don't want nothing to do with talking to us, man. His interview yesterday was, I was like, man, if his agent had to be watching that, like, this is terrible. I cannot get you any money off the field with you acting like this. But I'm not worried about him as a football player. So that's not the cold water, but there has to be some questions about the offensive line. I think they can be a good offensive line if they're healthy, right? If they're healthy and you're able to get consistency specifically at right guard, left guard, and then that center position kind of settles itself down. It was supposed to be a competition. Coleman Shelton kind of got it by default, right? I think that Ryan Poles wanted Ryan Bates to be the center. And then Nate Davis goes out, so Ryan Bates has to play a lot of right guard. And then Bates himself goes out. And so Coleman just kind of kept chugging along, like, oh, I guess I'm the guy. And so now he is the guy. But you got to see what that looks like. You got to see what how all those guys are able to work together to play five as one. I think that's going to be at least a question or cause for concern until they're able to prove that it's not. And so that you got to start there. And then I will look at the trenches on the other side of the ball as well. I really like the prospect that Javon Dexter is. But it's not a certainty, right? I've seen him when he plays with good pad level and he has a good get off. He's almost unstoppable in terms of being blocked one-on-one. He doesn't do it every snap, though. He has to play that way consistently so he can be a consistent disrupting force in the middle of that defense. He cannot just be a guy. And they've also got to get production on the other end opposite Montez Sweat, like everybody's been talking about. So those are a couple of things. If I had to point to a couple of things and say, well, what's this look like, right? And then you start to talk about coaching and how they're going to call the plays, how they're going to go about some of these things with Caleb Williams. And then the unknown is he's a rookie, right? We all think he is the goods. I think he is the goods, but he's still a rookie. And we got to figure out exactly what that's going to look like. But if I had to start with the biggest concerns that there may be a little bit of a damper, it's can that offensive line come together? Can you get positive answers for your questions on that defensive line?
And as it stands, is Mark Grody safe?
So look, I didn't know that you all had been running, that you all had like ran that voice note that I sent you, and somebody came up and told me the Mark Grody story. I was like, oh, you were listening that day live? And he's like, no, I heard the story that you sent into them. I was like, I didn't know that they had ran that. But it was so funny, man. I could not tell y'all exactly how this lay. I wanted to be able to paint that picture better than I was able to paint it for y'all in the moment, because it was just so funny. I was listening to y'all, and then when Dan goes, wait, are you being chased by a lawnmower? I'm like, yes, he is. That's exactly what's happening. It was so funny. It was so funny.
All right, well, we trust that we have people looking out for our guy. So, you know, just throw him a heads up every once in a while if some other piece of yard machinery is chasing him down.
I desperately need for that person to have been in on the bit. I, like, in my mind, that inside of their headphones, because of the noise, they are listening to this show.
I'll
and like,
get
you, know,
you, Mark Grody.
And you know what? Why don't I add a little juice to Mark Grody's Bears report and surround him with the lawnmower? I need that to be true.
It was absolutely hilarious. I heard y'all talking about whether Kevin Fishbane is or is not athletic. Grody, not so much. He's trying to run away from that thing. And the thing is just kind of like doing donuts around him. It was absolutely hilarious with the yard machine. It was so funny, man. It was so funny.
Herb, thank you. Much appreciated, man.
All right, but I'll talk to y'all later.
That's Herb Howard.
Yard machine.
From the Bigs Media.
You're right.
Speaking of which, oh, damn it. I should have told Herb this.
What?
So Friday? Is that Friday? Friday, I had the day off. I'm getting in a great workout at the gym. I rode my bike to the gym. And then someone's honking at me. Like, I'm just riding my bike over, like, 55th and Ellis. Someone's honking at me. I'm like, wow, I'm sharing the road. I'm being a good biker. I'm not breaking any laws. I look up, it's Eugene McIntosh from the Bigs.
Oh, wow.
He's like, hey, what you doing out here? I was like, I'm just trying to ride my bike. He's like, oh, all right. Then he was chasing me with a car machine.
Car machine. There is some pretty cool stuff from Matt Eberflus that we wanted to get to regarding, how would you describe it? Shadow coaching or coaching when players don't know they're being coached?
It's game planning in a way that I hadn't at least, I've heard of coaches doing this, but I've never heard of a coach talking about doing it. And it shows you again, like why we have certain people on. It's a great question from Jason Leisure, gets a great answer from Matt Eberflus. And this is a really interesting way to go about prepping a team, maybe without them knowing it, for an opponent. We'll explain and let him explain next here on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.